continue the series, actually finish the series in Daniel this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the series and got a lot out of not just the history, but how to apply God's word to our hearts and lives. And so this is Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, the last chapter of Daniel. And this is the angel. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep of the dust of the earth will wake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase their knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on the bank of the river and the other on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left toward the heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times and a half time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" And he replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. So this morning we continue with the series and finish up Dare to Be a Daniel. And this morning I want to think about being difference makers. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this man from Chicago who died and went to hell, and the devil came past him one day, and the man was just humming and singing, and the devil stopped by to ask the man why he was humming and singing. He said, "Well, this is just like a spring day in Chicago." And so the devil decided he was going to turn up the heat, and so the devil turned up the heat, and a couple days later, the devil went by, and the man was singing and having a good old time, and the devil said, "Aren't you hot?" The man said, "No, this is like a summer's day in Chicago." And so the devil said, "I'm going to try to freeze him out." And so the devil went and turned the temperature down to freezing until everything was frozen over, and he went back a couple days later, and he saw the man, and he was hooping and hollering, and the devil said, "I don't understand. What are you doing?" The man said, "Well, if hell is frozen over, it can only mean one thing. The Cubs won the World Series." I had to. I couldn't miss it. We may never get that chance again. Hey, I stayed up to the end, the bitter end, even my daughter. And when you think about things like the World Series, you think about difference makers. And Savannah, who's not really been too much into baseball, all of a sudden got into the World Series. Now, I'm not sure because she was all of a sudden into baseball or staying up late or some of the cute guys that are on the Cubs team. But you know, all of a sudden in Game 6, when Addison Russell came up to bat and hit a grand slam, and she saw he was that cute, she started to really tune into this series. And so he was a difference maker. And then, of course, in Game 7, there was a great chance to stay up late, and there was a lot of difference makers in that game. And it's just fabulous to see people stand up. And, you know, all of us can't be difference makers in baseball or football or some of the other sports in life, but the truth is, you and I can be difference makers in our life by witnessing for the Lord in powerful ways. And I think when we look at the book of Daniel, we see some great difference makers. We've looked at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the time they were teenagers all the way till now at the end. They're over 80 years old at the end of this. Influenced two kingdoms, the Babylonian kingdom and the Persian kingdom, of course, had a tremendous influence on Israel as well. And I think when we look at that, some of the things that made them difference makers were at least three things, which is faith, prayer, and integrity. And I like to think about that in our own lives and how we can be difference makers this morning. And the first thing is we look at faith. And I think it takes faith to be a difference maker for good in our world. And listen to the angel's words again to Daniel about the imagery of shining in the darkness. "At this time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will wake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Isn't that a great thing to say about something? And it isn't how long you live. Of course, we know that Daniel lived to be in a ripe old age, but from the very beginning, from the time they were teenagers in a very, very difficult circumstances, they really shone like the stars in the heavens. And we know people who shine like that in faith, whether they're young or old. And when you think about them, the first thing they did was to respond to a very difficult challenge, the challenge of Jeremiah the prophet. And remember that Jerusalem had been destroyed, the countryside laid havoc, and we think maybe as many as a million people over the next 10 years were killed under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And yet they were taken away to Babylon, a foreign city. They could have rebelled, they could have just dug their heels in and said, we're not going to do anything. But they received this letter of challenge from Jeremiah the prophet, and Jeremiah challenged them to live and settle there in a foreign nation, in a foreign place. It was a difficult thing to do. And then not just to live and settle there, but to keep strong values, to keep their faith, and then to pray for the shalom, really, of Babylon, and to love it, to let the light shine, and then to trust in the Lord. And they did that, and it took great faith. It took faith when their diet was challenged, and they could have been a little thing, but they decided to stand strong. And each time they did that, they were sort of propelled to a higher position with greater influence and a greater place to shine for the Lord. And then when the king needed his dream interpreter, then Daniel went and prayed and then was able to interpret that dream. And then when the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken in front of this fiery furnace and told they can either bow down to this 90-foot high statue or be thrown into the fiery furnace, they refused to bow down and were thrown into the fiery furnace. And then once again, Daniel was taken before the king and had to interpret a dream and writing on the wall, and Daniel stood strong, and his faith was really that helped him to do that. In our own life, think of the times maybe that you've been challenged and you had to stand up for your faith, whether it was at work or school or wherever. You know, when we do that, we shine like lights in the darkness. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel were young people when they stood up for the faith. And then over the course of the next decades, they let their light shine in a powerful way. And then Daniel, this end of the book, is probably in his 80s, we think, and was able to make an influence not only on the Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire, but also on the Persian Empire, which stretched around the world. And because of Daniel standing strong before the lion's den, and probably no doubt praying and refused to stop praying, because of his faith, and then he was thrown into the lion's den, and the Lord rescued him, and he was able to have a powerful influence on Cyrus the Great, probably the person with the first world empire. And that message may have gone out and maybe even helped people later to come to seek the Messiah in Bethlehem. And so the first thing is that difference makers have faith. Next thing I think is that difference makers seek the power of prayer. And we've seen people pray in life, and it was funny, Savannah and I kept commenting on it in like the sixth inning of game six. There was all of a sudden you looked around and there was people hugging and praying in the stands. And it was amazing. They were hugging and praying and praying and hugging. And I never saw so much prayer. And then in game seven, you know, in the ninth and tenth inning, when all these fans were praying. And I just thought, man, this is just like a prayer meeting. What if we prayed like that all the time for all the things in life? What a difference that would make. When people, every, you know, walk of life, they're praying. And you and I can do that not just at a baseball game. And I know it was great that the Cubs won. It's been 108 years, so it deserves some prayer, needs some prayer. But the fact is, you and I in life every day have the stakes a lot higher than that. Our testimony, the way we live, the way we act can make an incredible difference on someone's life by the way we lead our life, the way we share our faith. And in order to do it the right way, we need to seek power in prayer. And we take it for granted. Sometimes we just pray at meals, or sometimes we just roll for the Lord's Prayer and don't really think about it. But the truth is, if we really seek God in prayer, like these young men did through all their lives, then we can make a difference in our world. And you think about the times that Daniel was threatened with his life if he prayed to anyone other than to King Darius, and he refused to do that. In fact, he went home, prayed like he always did, they said, three times a day facing Jerusalem, because he was interceding for Jerusalem, and he was thrown into the lion's den, and the Lord delivered him, and it touched Cyrus the Great in a powerful way. And you and I might not be faced with those circumstances, but every day we can respond to crisis by praying for ourselves and praying for those in need, and just putting our arm around someone and praying together. And maybe it's a financial crisis, a relationship difficulty, whatever it is, we can just pray together. And then I think sometimes we pray in our own sort of prayer closet. I talked about the war room, the movie last week, but sometimes we're just in the closet praying, but God hears our prayer, and God can make a difference around the world as you and I pray. And if we pray together as a family of faith, as sisters and brothers in Christ, then you never know the difference we can have in other people's life. And so I challenge us just like that to pray. And it says this in the same chapter. He said, he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. I think that leads us into the third thing. So we have faith, and then we have the power of prayer, and then we have integrity. You know, through circumstances in life, and for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was tremendous, difficult circumstances in life. Their homeland being destroyed, being carried off to a capital of a foreign kingdom, and being put under pressure. Sometimes it was the lion's den, sometimes it was, you know, the fiery furnace. But God purified them and refined them and made them in a way that they could shine like the stars of the sky. And you and I, sometimes we find that the roughest circumstances in life become sort of the platform for our testimony to others. And sometimes it's a way we can speak out. Sometimes it's a way we can just act with integrity and touch people's lives. And sometimes it's a way, not just what we say, but really just what we do. We might not say a word, but other people are watching, and they're looking at the way we lead our lives. And if we lead our lives as men and women of integrity, then we can shine like the stars, just like this angel says about those who are right. If we fall and make a mistake, then I think that we look to the Lord in prayer for forgiveness, and we know that Christ bridges the gap between ourselves and God and forgives us, and then helps us to stand up and continue to make a testimony in our lives. And it's not easy, but these young men faced incredible circumstances. We think about the fiery furnace and the lion's den. I can't think of two more action-packed circumstances in all the Bible, but they stood true. And you and I, whatever we're facing in life, when the heat is turned up in some way or another, then we can stand true. And when we sort of face an enemy that seems like a lion to us, then if we have faith and we look at the power of prayer, then we can have integrity, lives that are true and reflect God's word and God's circumstances. And Paul, when he was up in years, wrote something similar to Timothy, and he challenges Timothy to take the highest road in life. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. He says this: in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a person cleanses himself from the latter, he will be made an instrument of noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Free of the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, Paul is saying, in a large house, there's some really fine china, and then there's sort of the paper plates, and there's some areas in between. He says, listen, if you purify yourself and commit your way to the Lord and living in the right way, then you can be a person of the highest level, and God is able to put you in a higher level of influence and have a greater influence in all the world. And if you're not, then you're sort of seeking a lower level. He's saying, listen, why not take the highest road? Be pure and true and flee the youthful desires. And he's telling Timothy as an older man, and Timothy as a younger man and in the faith, and he's saying, listen, do what's right in life. It will pay off in the end. And you'll touch people in a lasting and a profound way. One of the stories I love, and I'm a pilot, and I don't get to fly much, but I know Tom's here and other pilots, but a great story is that Bill Lear, who is the founder of Lear Jets, and that's sort of the dream jet. If you're a pilot, you always, Savannah sometimes says something and sort of wishful thinking, and I say, yeah, I'd like to have a jet and the money to put fuel in it and fly it. But, and I always think of a Lear jet, but in any case, I know that's not going to happen. But in the 1950s, he started his company, and he really only had about 55 jets that were out there. And early in this first couple years, there was two crashes that took place under mysterious circumstances. And he thought that there might have been something wrong with the control system. And so, without hesitation, he shut down production and warned everybody to ground all the flights. Now, that was a very difficult thing to do at that time. And he thought he knew what the answer was, and so they manufactured a port. And what he had to do, though, to make sure it was right, was to go up and take a jet into the same circumstances that the other mysterious crashes took place, and to sort of duplicate that with only him as the pilot. And so he did that. He almost lost complete control of the plane, but he was able to realize that that was a problem. And then he fixed the part, and then he went up and flew the jet again to make sure it was okay. And all that took about 2 years' time, in which time he almost went bankrupt. But then because of his integrity, his willing to sort of shut down production and to ground all the jets, then today and throughout his career and the career of that company, people have looked to that jet as an example of quality. We all know examples of business and business leaders who haven't done that sort of thing. But, you know, when we do that, it makes a difference for the long run. In the short run, sometimes it seems difficult. And we think about today, I know that election is coming up. I had to mention that this week. And we kind of look at the candidates and the sweep of candidates. And I think all of us, no matter who you're for or the least of whom you're against or however you want to put that, we wish they had greater integrity. And in fact, people throughout our world, we think about business and politics and every place in the world, we want people of integrity. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were people of integrity. They didn't bow and bend to the pressure to conform to culture and change their diet when it was just a small thing. And then when it came to bowing down to a 90-foot-tall statue of gold, they remained true. that even when they were thrown in the furnace ended up burning off their bonds instead of killing them. You and I today face some circumstances, and we may not be in Babylon, but in a sense, we're in a foreign country. And Jesus challenges us to be ambassadors, men and women who stand true for what is right. And we know in the end that our citizenship isn't here in whatever country we're in, but in heaven. But when we're here, we need to respond just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to that challenge of Jeremiah, to live and settle here, but to keep our values strong, to pray for the shalom, the peace and prosperity, and to love those around us, to let our light shine in the darkness, and to trust the Lord that the Lord will bring us true to all this. Daniel, in this end, knows that it's about time for the Israelites to be taken back to Jerusalem, but the most important thing is they changed their life, and they impacted the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire and all empires since, because we read the words today and we think about their lives. Jesus said this in Matthew 5 in closing, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I want to just put that challenge out to us today, and we get busy with the holiday season, with Thanksgiving and Christmas and shopping and the hustle and bustle and all kinds of temptations to just be in a hurry and really forget about the things that are most important. I challenge us to be difference makers like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and others who've gone before us, and to have faith, because faith will see us through, and to seek power in prayer, power that helps us to live, and then to have lives of integrity because we have the power to do that through prayer and faith in Jesus Christ. I want to close with this true story, and it's one of Savannah's favorite stories, and a true story about Bethany Hamilton. And she was a young 13-year-old surfer, and she just qualified for regionals, and she was surfing with her friends, and a 12-foot tiger shark just came out of nowhere and just literally bit off her whole arm and part of her shoulder, and she didn't panic when others would have panicked. In fact, she didn't even scream according to others, but she was rushed by her friends into the shore and then to a truck. And during this time, as she's coming in, her father was having surgery on his knee, and the doctor heard this call and had him stop right there and was able to stop the surgery, but take blood from her father that he'd use later. And the doctor later said that it was a miracle that Bethany even survived, that she lost more than half her blood. He was able to use some blood from her father to help her. And the greater miracle, though, was not just her living, but the way she lived her life after that. She decided to go on, and that she wanted to compete in surfing, and so she competed at the regional level again, and she came in second, which was pretty amazing, but she was so discouraged because she couldn't fight through the waves and the deep surf, and so she decided she was going to give up surfing, and she decided she was going on to a mission trip to Malaysia. And when she was over in Malaysia, helping people who had been struck by this incredible tsunami that went through the village, and the kids were all afraid of the water, and so in the middle of sort of passing out food, she saw all their fear, and she decided to help them take the surfboard out into the water. And so there's great photos of her with these young kids, helping them out in the water and to overcome their fears. And all of a sudden, that she realized that God could use her surfing and all that she'd been through to help others and to be a witness for Him. And so she went back home with a new kind of determination, and her father helped her to design a sort of handle for the surfboard to help her get through the rough surf. And she came in second in nationals, and she would have came in first, except they didn't count the last wave. And you can see the thing, but it looks like she should have had first anyway. But she didn't act discouraged or downtrodden by all that. She was happy and had a great attitude. And I think some of the things that make her a difference maker today, as she travels the world, not only being a professional surfer, but also a person that speaks for the Lord. And there's a great movie out called Soul Surfer about her life. But she was a person with great faith. She's a person who believes in the power of prayer, and she's a person that lives her life with incredible integrity. So whether it's back in the empires, the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire and Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or today with young people like Bethany Hamilton, you and I can see people who shine like the light in the darkness. And Daniel challenges us to not just look to them, but that you and I can have the same opportunity if we'll have faith and we'll have prayer and we'll have integrity in our lives. So I challenge us to do exactly that. We join in prayer. Gracious Lord, sometimes we just feel overwhelmed by the challenges around us. They seem to pull us down and to weigh us down. Yet we look at these young people, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were faithful when they were teenagers and faithful through all the decades of their life until old age, and they stood true. They made a difference in the world. And Lord, we long to do the same thing. Help us to have faith and to seek you in prayer and to have integrity in our lives. And when we falter and fall short, help us to seek your forgiving grace. We know through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that you forgive us and you make all things new. So help us to turn to you in faith and love and know that through you, we can have faith and we can find a new power in prayer and we can live lives of integrity, that we can make a real difference in our world through your power and to your glory. Amen.